You may be seated. Kids, you are dismissed to your classrooms. Were you playing the guitar and the drums at the same time? I got that, right? Okay, all right. He was playing the guitar and the drums and singing at the same time. You guys don't seem impressed. I can't play the guitar, I can't sing, and I can't play the drums, okay? He was doing all three. With a broken foot.
I was using my good foot, just so you know.
You were?
Yeah, I'm not using my bad.
Okay, doctor's orders. Okay, all right. I was just really impressed by that. That has nothing to do with today, but wow. Okay.
Do you want me to just stay up here and like heckle while you preach?
Or? You can if you want. Oh, well, we're starting off well. Happy May the 4th to everybody. May the fourth be with you. We were having this conversation earlier. I don't know like the temperature of the congregation yet. Like I would have preached in a Star Wars shirt, but I don't know if I'm there yet. So I think it was Kurt said, well, then you have to stay here at least 7 more years so you can do it when it comes back around. So I think you're stuck with me for 7 years. I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. I said it like bad, but you said it's good. That's good. I want to admit something to you right now. Again, we're not even close to the message yet, but just listen. I have the best assistant in the world. Like absolutely the best office administrative assistant, lead, whatever you want to call her. She's the best. I would be completely lost without her. Like, really bad, really bad. I know you. Darren and I share a lot together right now, okay? We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves without Leslie. So there's 3 things I want to say about Leslie. Is she back there? She's back there. Everyone wave to Leslie. All right, this is why I love Leslie, okay? First of all, I didn't even think about, like, we reset the chairs and then, like, communion was coming. I didn't even think about, like, how we were going to walk through communion. And she's like, oh, I thought about that on Friday. So, you know, she thinks about those things. Second part that I love about her is she didn't contact me on Friday because she knows it's my Sabbath. So she didn't bother me with that. And she said, we'll just figure it out on Sunday morning. But the biggest reason that I just love having her as my assistant. Can you bring up the picture? Yes, I did. On the OneDrive where you told me to put everything. Oh, okay, all right. Well, this is not working out well. You just went down a couple notches, Leslie. I'll explain the picture to you, and she'll be back in the good graces. So last week I had trouble saying a word, you know, baccalaureate. Had a little trouble with it. Monday morning I come in, or Tuesday morning when she came in, she hands me a post-it note. It says baccalaureate, and then it has the way to pronounce it on it. Like the way to, like a teacher would do it for you. I felt like a kindergartner. That's what I felt like. Like I was in class, and she's like, here you go. Like this is how you say this word. So, first grader?
First grade.
Oh, thank you. I graduated. All right. But anyways, let's get back on track. The baccalaureate is today at 6 p.m., not 5 p.m. All right, so that got changed. It is at 6 p.m. at Pine River, and yours truly is giving the message. So if you want to come support, come support. If not, I don't care. You don't have to come, you know? Star Wars there. Who said that? Zip it up over there, okay? All right, our second announcement is the local church conference. That's coming up on Sunday, May 18th, okay? It's really important. Following service, we will provide food and childcare. So make sure you make it out to that. And we are trying to get through that efficiently. I don't want to say quickly, efficiently, because Pine River's graduation is on the same day as we are thinking about that. Here, please now. Story encountering God. And so we're going to be looking at these couple key stories from the Exodus book. and how it helps us understand God in a better way. So we're going to be in Exodus 12 today, starting at verse 1 through 14. So if you want to get your Bibles, you can go ahead there. And we are going to read the word of the Lord. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to size for each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter the lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night they must roast the meat over fire and eat it along with bitter salad, greens, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating the meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with open hearts and open minds and asking that your spirit would be upon us today, that it would be your spirit that will guide us and lead us in this time together. Lord, praying that each and every person here, whatever it is that they brought with them, that they will be able to set it aside today, that they would be able to focus on you, your word, your son, and your spirit, Lord, that you would begin to work in us so that we can work through us. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So I'm going to tell you a story about a man, okay? He believed in God, thought God would save him from everything. This is what he thought. And so one day, the floodwaters start rising around his house. And so he goes up to the roof of his house, and the neighbor sends a boat and says, come on, come on the boat. We'll get out of here. And the man on the roof says, no. God will save me. God will save me. So the neighbor's like, okay, well, whatever, all right. So he leaves. And then the floodwaters start to rise a little more. And so then a big motorboat comes by. And they're like, come on, guy, just get off the roof and get out of here. And he's like, no. God will save me. He had a lot of trust in God. And so the motorboat leaves and the floodwaters start to rise again. Then a helicopter comes. Helicopter's flying over the house and they drop the ladder. Like, come on, jump on the ladder. We'll get you out of here. He's like, no. God will save me. The man dies. And when he gets to heaven, he's like, God, I thought you were going to save me. He's like, dude, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What are you doing? I tried to save you. That was my poor attempt at humor. I heard that story years and years ago from another pastor. And it fits into what we're talking about today because we're talking about how God redeems. But when we get to it, there's a part of redemption where we play a role in the redemption. Like, obviously, we're not the ones doing the redeeming, right? We can't do that, but there is a part that we play. We can't just sit on a roof and say, God's going to take care of everything, right? There has to be like an active participation where we have to jump in at some point. Are we all together there? Like, we don't do the redemption, but we play a part in it. Okay. Just want to make sure you guys are awake still. Exodus 12, let's jump into it. Verses 5 through 7. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the house where they eat the animal. Our first point is this: grace is free, but it is never cheap. Grace is free, but it is never cheap. So if we look at verse 5 there, the animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. So let's break down this Passover, what they're talking about. To break it down as simply as we can, is this is a meal with family. That's what it is. It's a meal with family. Now, other stuff gets added into it, but at the very core of it, this is what it is. It is a meal with family. So the question is, where does the importance come in, and why do we think it's important? Because if the lamb is supposed to be a one-year-old male, perfect without defects, does that lamb taste better than one that's blind? Or does that lamb taste better than one that has like a defective ear? No. At least I don't think so. I've never had lamb before, but I'm guessing that doesn't change how it tastes. Has anybody ever had lamb in here before? Yeah. Does that change the way it tastes? Right? So maybe what we're talking about this meal is, it's not the most important thing is how the lamb tastes, correct? Like that, I think that's what we're starting to establish is it doesn't matter how the lamb tastes, but everything that leads up to the lamb is more important. And what we're talking about is liturgy. That's what we're talking about. This first Passover is God is giving Moses and Aaron a liturgy for how they are supposed to handle Passover from this day moving forward. Because what God is about to do is one of the greatest events in the Israelite history that is going to be talked about. We're talking about it today, right? Like, it's still talked about. And so what God is doing is giving Moses and Aaron the playbook. This is what it is. This is the playbook. This is how you're supposed to do the Passover meal so that we can remember it from generation to generation to generation. So it's not necessarily about what the lamb is, how it tastes, but it's about what does the lamb represent. That's what the important part is. Verse 7, or let's go to this first. This is the definition of redemption: the release of people, animals, or property from bondage through the payment of a price. So if you found yourself into slavery during this time, maybe you didn't have enough money and you basically had to say, all right, I'll work for you as a servant and I'll be in bondage to you. And so redemption would come when someone from your family could pay that debt and get you out of that slavery. That's like the definition of redemption. And so God is changing that definition right before our eyes, because the Israelites have been in bondage and slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. And in order to take that slavery away from the people, there had to be a great cost paid by God to get them out of bondage. And so verse 7 says this: they are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. So what does blood represent? Well, it represents life, right? Blood flowing through us represents life. It can represent death. It can represent atonement, consecration, purification. These are all things that blood points to. And so God is using this picture of the blood on the door frames of this atonement is coming, purification is coming. Now, granted, at this time, there are no laws for purification, right? Like Moses hasn't been to the mountain. He hasn't come down with the tablets. There's no law given. And we kind of talked about this last week as well. It's like we're in this time before there is official law. And so we have to understand that God is using these to move forward. Like he's giving us a picture of what atonement is going to be in the future. He's giving us a picture of what purification is going to be in the future. That's why he's included the young lamb who was perfect without blemish to be slaughtered and his blood on the wood. Right? We can all see that picture of what is to come because we have the luxury of having read the New Testament. Like we know who Jesus is. But this is a very real act for the Israelites because they are in this moment stuck in bondage and slavery. And God is doing a work to redeem his people to get them out of bondage and slavery. So the first Passover is, it's kind of like a dual story that's happening at the same time. Is it, the very real thing is God is trying to save his people and get them out of Egypt, get them out of bondage. Like that's happening in real time. That's what God is trying to do. But also we have this view of what is God pointing to in the future? What's he pointing to it with the lamb and the sacrifice and the blood on the cross? Like all of that is at play here as well. And so you have this dualistic nature of this story going on at the same time. And as we sit in this story, we have to understand that. Now, the Israelites didn't understand that yet. They were just looking for redemption. But for us today, like we have to sit in that truth and that reality. What did it mean for the Israelites? But also, what does it mean for us today when we look to Jesus and the cross? Exodus 12, 11 through 13. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorstep will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Our next point is this: redemption leads to movement. So let's look at verse 11. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, or as some translations put it, to gird your loins. That's how you say it. Gird. No one talks like this anymore. To gird your loins. Like, do we understand what that is? Like, they would have a tunic on, a full tunic, and they would like bring it through, and then they wrap it around, and they tuck it into the belt. And then that way, they were like ready for action. Because when you're wearing a full tunic, you can't run when it's like down here. So they're basically, there's no kids in here, right? They're covering the private areas, right? So that they can be ready for action. Oh, there is two kids here. Oh, I'm so sorry. You guys are like so serious right now. And I'm literally talking about covering your loins. And you guys are so serious. But when you were to eat this meal, you're supposed to be fully dressed. And they wouldn't eat with their tunics on. They wouldn't eat with their sandals on. They wouldn't eat with a walking stick in hand. So there must be a reason and a purpose for this, is that this meal was to be eaten with urgency. That God's redemption was coming to the people, and they were supposed to be ready for it. So when they gather together to eat this meal, they'll be fully dressed, ready for battle, walking stick in hand, ready to go. Now this, I often share like where I spend a lot of time in my study. I don't know if you guys get sick of that or not, but that's just what I'm doing right now. I'll probably get bored of it and I won't share it anymore. But anyways, verse 12 was where I spent a lot of time this week. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. Kids were going to die. That's what I just read to you out loud. Is that Egyptian kids died. And I kind of sat there when I read that because I had never read it with that perspective, right? We always put ourselves with the Israelites and we're like, yes, Israelites, we're getting out of here. We're going to bust out. We're going to be free. Kids died. Like, we have to sit with that. It can't be just something that we pass over. Not to use a pun there, but we can't just like overlook it. Like, we have to sit with that and understand, like, there is a high cost that comes with redemption. There is a great cost that comes with redemption. And I was having that conversation with my wife. I was like, do you ever, like, when you read that section, do you like get into the mind of the Egyptians and you're like, oh man, there were a lot of kids that died that night. A lot. I don't know how many people were in Egypt at the time, but it had to be a lot. And so I kind of sat there just sitting with that thought of like, man, redemption cost a lot. Now, Pharaoh wasn't a nice guy, right? Like, he wanted to kill all the Israelite babies, and he was. Like, he's not some good dude who was like on a high moral character. Like, he had his own issues and his own things. But I just kind of sat there with, like, if we really think about redemption and what it cost a lot. Because we're going to get to a point where redemption of our souls and our embodiment cost God a lot. But I'd never sat with that perspective for a while of trying to understand, like, what it meant for Egypt, what it meant for the Israelites. Remember how we talked about like the dual nature of the story, like what it meant in that time and what it means today. So I don't know if there's like a major like point I'm trying to tell you with that, other than that it costs a lot, but I just kind of sat with that. I guess maybe the point of telling you that is like when you read scripture, like don't just like zoom through it. Like sit with it. Meditate on it. No one says you have to read your Bible in 1 year. Like, I don't know who made that up. Like, you don't have to, okay? You can read like 5 verses for 3 weeks. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, are you sitting with God's word and trying to understand what it is that he's trying to convey to you at that point? Like, how is the Spirit working on you in that moment? And so at that moment, the Spirit was convicting me of this cost a lot for redemption. Not only for the Egyptians, not only for the Israelites, but for our understanding today of what God paid for our freedom. And I think ultimately when we're looking at scripture, that's the connection that we're looking for, right? It's like, how does this all connect to Jesus and what does it mean in my life today? Right? Like that's what we read scripture for, is to understand how I can apply it to my daily life today. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 13, but the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God had a plan. God had a plan for redemption. Like, he was the one that was going to execute this plan of redemption. It wasn't going to be anyone else. It was going to be God who, who did it. But he gave this instruction that if you were to put this blood on your doorpost, this angel of death would pass over you. This plague would pass over you. It wouldn't touch you. It wouldn't harm your family. And so this was a sign to God for the plague to pass over. But what it really is a sign of obedience, right? Like, I'm following the instructions of God, and so I'm going to put this on my doorpost. So this whole Passover is an observation in obedience. It wasn't about the meal. It wasn't about eating of the lamb. It wasn't about the tunic. It was about, are you obedient to God? When I come to redeem my people, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to put your faith into action? Is that going to lead to movement? That's what the blood on the doorpost was. It was a sign to God that we are a faithful household and we are surrendering to you. We're willing to follow you anywhere. I like this part. We're going to jump back to verse 2. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. You read that verse and you're like, oh, that's like a throwaway verse, right? You just, all right, what does verse 3 say? But from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. And what I sat in that verse was this: redemption resets your story. Redemption resets your story. The whole story for the Israelites had been bondage and slavery for 400 plus years. After the time of Joseph, they were in Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery. So for generation after generation, all their families knew was bondage. That's all they knew. And so God gets to this point where he says, I'm going to redeem my people. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to pay a price to release them from their bondage. And so you look at verse 2, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. So this remembrance that they were to do every year was a reminder that God redeemed them, that he redeemed the Israelites, and he's still redeeming us today. When the price is paid for your salvation, the high price that is paid, it resets everything in your life. That's what they talk about when you walk into this new life, is that God wants to reset your story. Just like the Israelites, we often find ourselves in bondage, in slavery. Now, it doesn't look the same for us as it does the Israelites, but there are different things that we are bonded to and in slavery to. But God wants to redeem you. He wants to reset your story. He wants to make it anew. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. From now on, right? God wants to reset it right now so that you can be shaped by his grace. So that you can walk into this new life. So that the Holy Spirit can begin to work in you and through you. For our redemption, God had to give up his son. His son took on the full embodiment, became human. He was divine and human at the same time, and he paid the ultimate price for our redemption. His son gave his life so that our story could be reset. so that we had to no longer sit in the bondage and the slavery, but that we could now begin anew. This is my final question for you. What does the lamb's sacrifice mean to you today? What does the lamb's sacrifice mean to you today? The lamb's sacrifice had a very specific meaning for the Israelites. And as we kind of talked about a little bit, it was the sign of obedience that the people were following God and they were being faithful and they were taking this action. They were putting it on there so that the plague would pass over them. The 10th plague would pass over. But what does it mean for us? Because multiple times in Scripture, I'm thinking of John the Baptist right now, when he says, behold, what does he say? Behold, this is where you respond. The Lamb of God. Behold, it's the Lamb of God. And so what does the Lamb mean to us today? And so that's a question that we have to sit with. Is giving everything we know about the Passover, what it means. Giving everything we know about Jesus and who he was. What does the lamb's sacrifice mean to me? And we talked about it a little while back, I think it was a month ago, when we talked about the First Communion and how closely related to Passover it is. All of this is working together. But what does the lamb's sacrifice mean to me today? So we're going to have a moment here during communion where we're going to sit with that question of what does it mean that God would send his son to pay for my redemption? Because that's a big question. Would you go ahead and stand with me? So like I said, we're going to be partaking in communion now. Worship team, you guys can come on up. And so I want us to kind of sit with that question. So once we like get our elements and we're back at our seats and you know the worship team's playing, what does God's redemption mean to me that he would pay that price for me? So hopefully we can sit with that question. And realize that nothing we do earned us God sending his son. Like, we didn't do that. We can't do that. We will never be able to do that. But remember how at the beginning I said there is a part that we play. Remember the Israelites had to have their tunic on. They had to have their stick ready. They had to be ready for movement. That's our role, is that we have to be ready to accept God's free gift of grace. So when we do communion, we got the chairs are all different now, okay? So I didn't fully think about this until, you know, an hour before service, but we'll figure it out. So the way that we'll start it is all the outside rows will come up first. They'll get their elements, they'll go back, and then the middle row will come down this aisle, and then they'll go back that way. Does that sound like that'll work? Okay, if not, then we'll figure it out, you know? I'm not too concerned about it. But here at Dighton, we practice what we call open communion, which means you do not have to be a member here at church to participate in the sacrament. All that we ask is that you check your heart before you come to the table. You who are walking in fellowship with God and are in love and harmony with your neighbor, and you who do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from this time in his holy ways, draw nearer with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God. Chom, would you help on this side for me? All right, perfect. So we will start dismissing. Again, we'll start on the outside, work our way forward, and then we'll work on the middle rows. And if it gets super confusing, we'll figure it out. You guys are waiting on me.
We're waiting on you.
Oh, okay. You said there was more song. Oh. I was like, Darren, is there more song? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay.
I need to be redeemed.
Oh. I want to read from 1 Peter 1:19 through 20. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Jesus was chosen a long, long time ago to be the ultimate redeemer of this world. And God in his wonderful mystery and whatever else it is, he had to lead us along the way and like hit us over the head with it. That's exactly what the Passover is. Hey, dummies, I'm going to send a spotless lamb to take away the sins of the world, just like we did at Passover. And praise God that he did, right? Because our Lord and Savior, who was on that cross, his body was broken and bruised and busted. Because redemption cost everything. And so we take the bread in remembrance of that. And Jesus' blood represents everything for us. And so we take this in remembrance of Jesus' blood and what he did for us on the cross. Father, we thank you for redemption. Something that we could never do. And Lord, that redemption cost you everything. How do you love us so much that you were willing to send your son to the cross for us? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. That you would give up everything for us. That you would pay such a high price for our redemption. And just like the Israelites had to be ready to move at a moment's notice, Lord, I pray that your spirit would be upon this congregation, that we would have our walking sticks in hand, that our sandals would be on, that we would be ready to move at a moment's notice to spread your word and your love to tell everyone about your redemption, about how you love us so much that you were willing to pay so much so that we could walk into that freedom. That we could walk into your arms, Lord. That we would be ready to say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you how I put the blood on my doorpost as a sign of obedience to you. Lord, help us to be your good news carriers in this world. Help us to tell everyone we meet about the price you paid for our redemption. We love you. We praise you. And everyone said, amen. The same God who freed the Israelites from bondage and slavery wants to free us from our own chains of slavery and bondage. And one of the coolest things about holiness is that we get to walk into that freedom, and we didn't earn it or deserve it, but we get to walk in it. Be blessed this week, and we'll see you next Sunday.